So, Lou, it seems like your phone is in playoff form as well, hey?
Well, absolutely. You know, it is a Rogers product, so you'd I'd have a little extra, you know, help. But about 2 minutes before you guys were going to call, it went into some kind of activation process, and there was no way other than to tell Derek to hook up with you guys, and obviously you didn't get it quite as quickly because I could tell from your text that you know, you're starting to get a little on the sour side.
I says, hey, are we doing this,
quote.
I figure that's a fair question.
So just remember, I'm not trying to cause any issues.
I know.
But I'm not, you know, I don't always have the greatest luck with technical things.
Are we doing this? That's a fair question.
Are we doing this?
Well, it's good to talk to you, pal. I'm glad that you're... Yes. Your phone from 1997 has let you down once again.
You know what? If I could ever get a new plan that ran out soon, or, you know, if somebody paid for my phone, it'd be great.
Kelly Kirsch has left the building, so he wasn't listening to that particular part. Unfortunately, I'll record it and I'll send it to him. Lou, we talked about it last night, and we got a little bit of extra time because you didn't have to leave on an airplane right away, so it was good. We got a little bit of extra time on the postgame show last night. But that is the blueprint the Flames are going to need to employ. That's the way Calgary is going to win hockey games throughout the rest of the postseason.
I would suggest in many ways, yes, although there will no doubt be more hopes of going on the attack, if you will, sooner rather than later. I would suggest for about, you know, certainly the first period and into just very early in the second period, you know, Vancouver had some great down low offensive possession time led by the Sedin line. And yet, I think the way the Flames handled it, the way they defended it, the way they goaltended it was excellent. That would be the only thing in looking back is, you know, in many ways, can you start earlier in terms of getting the Canucks back on their heels? Because, yes, it's a good blueprint for this team. Yes, it's worked very well all season. But, no, do you want to be down one going to the third period in every game of this series? I would suggest no.
So, here's my question about what we saw last night, because I'm with you. I really felt that the Flames took over as that third period played out. It's kind of a weird third period, because first 5 minutes or so, I thought Vancouver came out like a house on fire and really looked good, and you thought, oh, they might be able to extend this lead to two. But something happened before the Jones goal. You know, Jones's goal came, what, almost 8 minutes into the period, and something happened a couple minutes before that. And I don't know if it's the Flames, just because of their relentless skating, might have tuckered out the Canucks. I don't know if they caught them on their heels, and maybe it was Vancouver strictly just going into a shell trying to protect a 1-0 lead. But whatever it was, the Flames, you're right, finally got that possession game going, and it culminated with a couple of goals and Chris Russell's game winner. So why was that? What led to the Flames being able to maybe take control of that game in the final 14 minutes or so of the third period?
Todd, I think we've seen it all year in the sense that this team, call it a momentum team, you know, refer to it however you like, but they started to execute better in terms of getting the puck into the neutral zone with good possession and then putting the pucks in good places in terms to allow them on smart dump-ins in particular to get pressure on the Canucks' back end. And when this team skates with good sticks, even on the game equalizer, if you think about that, they had some good pressure. Vancouver was able to get the puck, you know, nearly out of the zone, but a match stage in good angle, force the Weber pass, good puck support defensively from Ferland, and then you turn people over and go back on the attack. And that's what started to happen more. Although I saw a pretty good chunk of it in the second period, it just didn't necessarily materialize with a goal. And when this team starts, you know, they're a little like piranhas in a tank that all of a sudden see some meat. When this group starts to go into a bit of a feeding frenzy, they can really come at you in waves. And that's really what they did for that, you know, 4 or 5 minute stretch, especially after the equalizer.
I said this prior to hooking up with you, but one of the biggest observations I take from game one is the middle six forwards. The line of Backlund, Colburn, and Bennett I thought was the best line all night long. And in the second half of that hockey game, I thought Stajan, Jones, and Ferland were dynamite as well. You know, the middle six forwards were the ones that really drove the bus last night.
Yeah, you're not going to get any disagreement with me. I thought they were excellent and got better and better as the game went on. As you know, I had a bit of a feeling about David Jones, who ended up with the team hard hat when the game was all said and done, and gets the equalizer and ends up a very impressive plus two because he was also on the ice creating the havoc that led to the Chris Russell game winner with just under 30 seconds left. But, you know, Michael Backlund played a very, very smart, intelligent game. And, you know, again, we can go on for a long time, but to me, there's one really enormous story that comes out of last night, and it's the 18-year-old that wore number 63. The more I think about what I witnessed last night and replay it in my mind and think about it and what he meant to the group and how in so many ways he drove the bus even early in the first period, Pat, maybe one of the most impressive games I've ever seen in a circumstance like that from a young player.
Yeah, I don't know how you can disagree. And you know, I think a big thing on that is, I mean, Vancouver did a really good job against Calgary's top line, and we'll get to that top line in just a second. But not necessarily a book on Sam Bennett. And I think Bennett certainly caught them by surprise last night.
I think he did to a certain degree. And the other great thing is Sam fits well. Sam would probably fit in beautifully in most places, to be frank, with his agility, the way he skates. This guy's ability to change direction, Pat, and get to tough places. And, of course, we've talked about it for days now. No trepidation, no fear, not overwhelmed, believes in his ability beyond belief, especially for someone of his age and, frankly, lack of NHL experience, which is what made last night for me so special to be able to watch with my own two eyes. But, you know, you think about some of the key shifts in the game, it was his ability to get in deep on good dump-ins, you know, to apply pressure on the back end. And really, that's the plan for the Flames in terms of, you know, most nights, how they want to get to somebody. And especially, I think, on this Vancouver group and their defense, I think they see an opportunity, especially in a couple of their pairings, to get pucks in. And if they, you know, place pucks properly, they're going to create some havoc. And Bennett was a big, big factor in doing just that, with his speed and determination on the forecheck to create havoc.
Yeah, no argument from me on that. He's Peter Labardius in Vancouver. My name is Pat Steinberg. As Hockey Central, the noon continues on this Thursday afternoon. Sean Monahan didn't look right. And that was a huge observation for most everyone watching on television. Was that your same observation watching in person?
Something was a little off, although I do think as the game wore on, he got better. And that group got better. But there was, you know, certainly one time in the third when Gaudreau made a wonderful play to the middle of the ice. When he shot the puck, I wondered a little bit. It didn't seem to come off his stick the way it normally would. So not sure if it's, you know, a bad bout of the flu that's really taken something out of him. Don't know if it's an injury. We'll never know. I mean, that's the fact. And there's no disputing it. We're not going to get answers. But, you know, we're in a position to try and evaluate the best we can as to what we see. Yeah. So, you know, was it that? Was it, you know, just a tough night? Remember that group is truly the focal point now for everybody they play. So it's not going to be easy. And when it gets ratcheted up, I mean, listen, it worked out really well against LA, but think about even the liberties that they took with that top group. You know, that may be the very reason that he's not 100%. And I would suggest that something potentially happened in that game that has left him in the position that he's in. I mean, and it's just going to continue. And when somebody knows that they have potentially a wounded warrior, they're not going to go after him any less at this time.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I thought, and I'm with you, I did think they got better as the game went along. I thought for the first time in the third period, they had a few shifts where they were dangerous. But by and large, that was maybe one of the more ineffective games the Flames' top line has played in, you know, more than a month. And yet, they still won the hockey game. And that's what I think is really promising if you're a Flames fan, is that top line was not good. I thought they had a really ineffective game. But we know they're capable of so much better. And the Flames are up 1-0 in this series. Like that has got to be a pretty nice feeling if you're a Flames fan.
And do you not feel in some ways with some of the havoc that the Sedin line created and didn't cash in, that's a benefit too? I think at the end of the day in this series, anytime those groups can be even, you know, that may bode really, really well. Because I think, you know, and we'll talk to the Canucks here shortly as they continue to practice here at the UBC Thunderbird Sports Center, that they liked a lot of what they saw in their entire game, lines 1-4. That was the sense that I got coming out of it. They didn't like the result.
Mm-hmm.
They had their chances. They couldn't put the game away when they had it on their sticks on several occasions. So, you know, you'll take an even matchup every game, I would suggest, in this series between those top two groups. But, you know, I agree, it may be even more important for the Flames' top line to be productive in some ways as this series goes on than maybe even, you know, the Sedin line. But we're going to see how that plays out. And one thing that Willie Desjardins was very, you know, true to form last night, and the minutes reflected it, Pat, this is a four-line group.
Yeah, but you know what, Lou? You know what? That'll be my one criticism of Willie Desjardins last night. And it's a postseason game. And you're in a 1-0 game and a 1-1 game. The Flames weren't rolling four lines. Vancouver, what? And I know there's, but I really think that's the one criticism I have of the Canucks last night, is they were almost too tied to rolling four lines. I think you got to manage things a little bit better in the postseason, and especially in a game as close as that. I actually didn't like that from Desjardins last night. I thought it was a big reason why Calgary was able to take advantage and win.
Interesting. I don't see it the same way myself, because at the end of the day, a series is one in four games, not one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all really, really important. And my guess would be in how he goes about his business, and I've watched him at many levels and how he goes about his business, that he potentially feels like his ability to do that as this series goes on will continue to give his group an edge, even though it didn't potentially pay off last night.
Yeah. No, and it's an interesting, because I don't disagree with your theory. I think that's probably exactly what it is. You know, it's all about management. And I just think in a game, in a playoff game, in a 1-0 and 1-1 game, you need to be hammering on the Sedins a little bit more. You rested them, you conserved them all year during the regular season. Well, the playoffs are when that's supposed to pay off. And he didn't go hard with the Sedins. He didn't, you know, really use them extensively in the third period, where I thought he could have.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I have a tough time being critical, to be honest, of those types of people. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. And we'll see, you know, how the series ends up and how both teams continue to go about their plan. But like I said, I'm not in a position myself where I'm going to spend a lot of time, you know, going at somebody that I have that kind of respect for. And
mm-hmm.
He's gone about his business. I don't believe it, and I won't do it.
I respect the hell out of the guy. I just didn't like that decision last night. It's a really good head coach. Okay, so two more quick thoughts with Peter Labardius, the color voice of the Calgary Flames. Number one, your quick thoughts on Jonas Hiller, and I thought he looked really confident last night. You know, the first saves were big. I mean, there were a lot of rebounds, but Calgary scouted them well and did a good job of making sure there weren't those second opportunities. But I certainly liked how confident and well-positioned Jonas Hiller was last night.
He was excellent. And for two big games in a row, I don't really think you could ask for more out of your goaltender. He was the best goaltender in the game. And when you mentioned that five-minute flurry to open the third period where there was some grade-A chances, he shut the door and gave his team a chance. Pat, that's all you can ask for. So the LA game, fabulous. Last night, equally as impressive, maybe even more so. So give him a lot of credit. And, you know, before we go on, I know we're probably running out of some time, is the one area I want to touch on is the Flames' top five on defense. I thought that that entire group, including the nearly 11 minutes they got from David Schlemko last night, was excellent. There was not one member of the Flames' defense in that group of five that I could say anything but positive things about. I thought they did a marvelous job, you know, taking care of business in a hard game where that team really came at them all night long. So, you know, kudos to that group. Russell and Weidman at the top of that list, of course, 30 and 29 minutes respectively. And I thought as the game wore on that Brody's ability, again, to just look effortless, jump up in the rush, I thought that was one of his better efforts in quite some time. And I wouldn't want to sell Mr. England short either. Physical, hard to play against, block shots. That was a quality performance by that group.
What do you expect tomorrow in game two?
Probably more of the same. And yet, when the game is played the way it is last night, you know, one never knows. It's about adjustments. It's about breaks. It's about, you know, how the goaltending is going to continue to play out. The Flames did an excellent job of killing off all three Canuck power plays, which could have really turned the game. So I don't know about you, but I didn't really feel like there was a ton to choose from between these two groups coming in. And I'm glad that you brought up the point in regards to the Flames, you know, number two and number three lines, because I think the quality play from those two groups is going to mean a lot as this series goes on. Because I just, in some ways, just because of their experience, I feel like I have a better feel for potentially how, you know, Vancouver's going to go, you know, from lines one through four. And I think because of youth, inexperience, and in not all inexperience, I mean, Jones and Stajan certainly aren't inexperienced, but they don't have a lot of playoff experience. But, you know, I really felt in many ways the top line has to score. There's no doubt about it. And those guys are the focal point. But, you know, the other thing is the Flames will continue to create havoc by creating from their defense on out. And how well do those other two groups play? And will we potentially see any lineup changes for the Flames? Is there a chance Mason Raymond enters back in to the picture? So, you know, it'll be interesting when practice starts here today at 2 o'clock your time.
Lou, you are a great color commentator. You're an even better person, but your phone is absolute trash. You're a horrible referee and an even worse commissioner. So those are my parting words for you today.
You are just really lucky today because you would be in Stefan Kintel's office for text violations. And as I've told the people here in Vancouver who have been around me, it's kind of an inside joke. I have a tendency for all our listeners to throw flags at people when I think that they've made some off-colored remarks. Well, in the playoffs, I've lessened the flags. Like, it takes a lot more to get a flag, but you had a couple of suspendable offenses. You know, you'd be kind of the PK Subban today of the playoffs.
No, you're a farce of a commissioner. You're a joke. And we'll talk tomorrow.
Oh, a joke.
Yeah, you're a joke of a commissioner, Lou.
I have a few more birthdays before you call me a joke.
Well, just as a commissioner. I already told you, you're a great color commentator and even better man, but just an awful.
Well, you know what? When you get to be my age, you can tell some 30-year-old, too, that they're a joke and a bad commissioner.
Bye, Lou. We'll talk to you tomorrow, pal.
Have a good day. People need hockey.